Hello and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder in Northeast Missouri, or Nemo as I call it, and with me today, as always, is Jan in South Africa. Jan, how are you doing?
Hi there, Alex. Great to be on the show with you again. It's always fun.
We had done a great show, and it was unfortunately burned down due to faulty wiring, so we're back again. And it's now, what is it now? It's May 5th as we're recording this. Now, I want to start by talking about something we talked about other times. Alishan Chablo back in jail. Jan, what do you know about this?
Oh, man, Alex, I couldn't...
Did Alishan murder somebody or rape somebody or steal a car? Or it must have been something horrible. Punch somebody's kangaroo? What happened?
Oh, Alex, you won't believe the stupid stuff that they put Alishan in jail for. It's beyond ridiculous. A friend in Europe sent me a link to say that Alishan is in jail. I said to him, are you sure it's not an old story? Because there's no ways Alishan can be in jail. Alex and I have just talked to her, and we know her stuff, and all her stuff is good. And I went and I checked, and to my horror, she got jail time. Can you believe she got 22 weeks in jail, which is even more than last year? Last year she got 18 weeks, but you won't believe what it's for. Listen to this. This is from an article I posted, and it says, the Westminster Magistrates Court convicted her of sending offensive messages. An anti-Semitic campaigner who once compared Auschwitz to a theme park is back behind bars for mocking the Jewish faith in an Oliver Twist song. And Alex, all she did was she changed a word or two. It says, Alishan Chablo changed the lyrics. You've got to pick a pocket or two to you've got to shift a shekel or two. So all she did was she changed two words from pick to shift, and she'd put in shekel. So for two words, 22 weeks jail time. That apparently is highly offensive, and it's a sending of a message. And it's all this British garbage that if you upload to the internet, then if you upload it somewhere, then you're sending a message to somebody, which is total bullshit. But there you got it. Change two words, 22 weeks jail time.
Utterly ridiculous. The British judges are in the business of determining what's acceptable songwriting. So never shall be slaves. Oh, also, we're going to really carefully check what you write as a song. You can't satirize. Hey, the existence of Goyim is grossly offensive to Jews. So keep that in mind. Your existence is intolerable and disgusting to Jews. And they're more and more open about that in the USA in particular, as they feel more brazen that their time is coming, their time is approaching to secure their world empire. But yeah, that's pretty darn ridiculous. Let's go over some of the stuff we'll talk about in the show today, and we wish her well, and we'll update you as we find out stuff about what's going on with her. So I guess that'll put her in jail through the summer pretty much. And the fall, maybe she'll be out by the end of the year. I don't know. But absolutely pathetic. And that's the state of modern Britain today. Oh, yeah. Wait for this to be talked about on Fox News. Ha ha. It never will be. And, you know, we should say at the same time, because it's related, I was just thinking now in Canada right now, they're trying to pass. I don't know if you heard of this, Jan, but they're trying to criminalize, to pass exactly the sort of law Alishan is thrown in jail under, that to make it illegal to doubt the Holocaust, illegal to criticize Jews effectively is, and the conservatives are the ones promoting this up in Canada. So I don't know what the status of that is. I think it's been introduced as a bill. It hasn't passed yet, but essentially they're trying to get the same exact rule in Canada to the extent they don't have that already. We know they have very strong laws against group criticism of any group the people running the country don't like, it's okay to criticize, but they're going to add this to that, I guess. Have you heard anything about that, Jan?
Alex, I was asking a number of Canadians that I know to say to them, you know, when is this law coming through, and what is going to be the punishment, and also what is going to be, you know, what exactly will you have to do in order to break the law? And it's actually kind of vague, Alex. The best I could see was that it was written down to say that they'd shoved this into some other legislation that's going to pass anyway. But I haven't been able to get a single Canadian or an article that tells me exactly what the law is. And what you would have to say in order to break the law. So I don't know. So it is kind of weird. And they've said it's going to go through, which is kind of creepy. But nobody can give specifics. So I think the best thing is we'll have to check every few months and just see what the hell is the status. Maybe we need to see if we can find somebody in Canada who's an attorney who can even answer it. Because it's kind of weird.
Wait, I saw a little something on. I'm trying to look it up here. Let me see. It was mocking the. I don't know if I can. What's it on? Go ahead if you had anything else to say. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it or not.
Okay.
I saw it the other day. No, there was some conservative was introducing it. It says, oh, we shouldn't. We got to make it illegal to criticize Jews and deny the worst suffering of all time, and blah blah blah, that type of thing. No, I don't see it. I'm gonna look in the. I'm gonna look in Google News if I can dig it up.
If I may put in a counter to that, Alex, that the Jew, the greatest Jewish murderer of all time. What's his name?
Yagoda or Beria, one of them?
No, I can't remember. The Wolf of the Kremlin. They used to call him the Wolf of the Kremlin. And he... let me quickly look
odd.
It up.
Okay. Everything I'm saying...
Kaganovich. Lazar Kaganovich. The greatest murderer in the history of the world is a Jew... And he personally oversaw the slaughter of 20 million people. So, you know, what about that? What about that? You know, it's always Hitler and the Holocaust, but what about the Jew Kaganovich? What about the Jew Kaganovich who actually killed more people than Hitler is claimed to have killed? You know, you never hear them talk about Kaganovich. You know, In the meantime, while you're searching or whatever, Alex, isn't it amazing that Jews come with anti-Semitism? They come with this crap called anti-Semitism. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what is anti-Semitism? Anti-Semitism is nothing more than the Jewish definition of who their enemy is. Their enemy. So they come to you and they say, listen, there's this problem called anti-Semitism and we need to stop it. You need to help us stop it. So in actual fact, you go and you destroy your brother or your sister in order to protect the Jews from their enemies. You are destroying their enemies. And what is anti-Semitism? It's whatever Jews define
it to be. It's a bogus concept. It's a trick and a trap. There is a specific name for it. I forget what it is, but all you need to know is it's a verbal trap. Essentially, it's saying that there's no such thing as legitimate criticism of Jews. Everything is invidious and due to the moral defect in the critic, and it has nothing to do with Jewish behavior, when in fact that's the exact opposite of the truth. So anti-Semitism is a coded... And no one ever thinks about it. And we have our own PhDs, like Greg Johnson will use it without thinking about it because it's a common term. But when a common term is dishonest, it's particularly necessary not to use it and to make it, render it problematic, as grad school idiots say, because it's bogus. All criticism of Jews is based on their behavior. There's no one who hates Jews because they're Jews or because they exist. They oppose them because of the horrible things they have done are doing and will do. 100% the reaction to Jews is caused by their behavior. They're no different from any other group. Okay? And where there's hatred for no rational historical reason is of whites. And the Jews have fully legitimated hating whites, and they put that in every piece of media that they promote. The best I can see is the stuff in Canada. It was talked about like back in April toward the end of it, and they were about to outlaw, but I don't see anything up to the date. So I don't know if they passed it or not. I don't think they quite have. I saw something at the Daily Rake, which is a sort of a TRS or a National Justice Party affiliated Canadian satirist writes it. And he wrote something the other day, but I'm damned if I can find it. So it's about to, and he was talking about one of the conservatives there who was going to outlaw Holocaust denial, or had introduced a bill to that extent. I'm trying to, gosh darn it, where is that? Let me see.
Yeah, it's a shame when the politicians are so weak, eh? That I thought for a moment those conservative politicians in Canada, with all those protests, it looked like they were growing some balls, and now what little hope is gone.
I found a little thing. Let's see. Okay. Saskatoon, and again, this is like a month ago. Saskatoon Tory MP Kevin Waugh, W-A-U-G-H, earlier this year introduced a private member's bill prohibiting Holocaust denial that is currently making its way through politics. And I can't find anything after that. So this spring, they've been promoting Kevin Waugh. And this is, again, this is like a conservative party member in Canada. Those who claim that the Holocaust was a hoax, or that the Jewish community exaggerates its impact, both of which are true, are amplifying classic anti-Semitic tropes about a global Jewish conspiracy. We strongly urge all members to support this important bill that will benefit all Canadians. So make it illegal to question Jewish lies. Kevin Waugh, conservative member of parliament, supports that. And that was his second tweet. His first tweet was from Kevin Waugh. Holocaust denial is a dangerous form of anti-Semitism, which is a bogus concept. We deeply appreciate the leadership of conservative MP. Oh, this is okay, from CIJA, some Jew group. Oh, I see. Kevin Waugh was retweeting that from CIJA, which is a Jew group in Canada. And CIJA's first tweet was, Holocaust denial is a dangerous form of anti-Semitism. We deeply appreciate the leadership of conservative MP Kevin Waugh at underscore CPC. I guess that'd be Conservative Party of Canada or something, who today introduced a private member's bill to criminalize this insidious form of Jew hatred. Thank you to Melissa Lanceman for seconding CDN Polly hashtag. Get excited for a new conservative politician, Goyim, says the DailyRake.ca writer. I don't know who he is. He's anonymous. A very good satirist, though. Good stuff. But yeah, so this was what was going on like a month ago. I don't know the progress or if it's passed, but a quick search of Google News does not show anything has passed. So I guess it lies there. I can't see anything else about it. But yeah, they're trying to nail it down increasingly to where any criticism of Jews or any atrocity they manufacture will get you thrown in jail, like Alison Chablot or Albert Schaefer or other people we know. Have we heard anything more about Albert Schaefer?
Alfred Schaefer.
Alfred Schaefer. I always call him Albert. Alfred Schaefer, right?
Yes. The last thing I heard was that he might actually be coming out of jail, maybe even in this month. I don't know the details, but I've heard that he may be coming out of jail, which is quite surprising because I believe that they were coming after him for his let's call it Roman salute. He did a Nazi salute in Germany, and I remember that they were gonna put him on trial for that. And I don't know what happened with any of those things. I've not been able to follow up on that. But I've heard that he might actually be coming out of jail, which is amazing. Because I thought originally he was going to do like 4 years or something, or 4.5 years. I can't remember. Was it 2.5? Don't trust my memory. I might be losing it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've not seen him mentioned anywhere lately. But anyway, so that's a prisoner review roundup, and more laws criminalizing. It just gets increasingly ridiculous. All right, let's. Well, in the U.S., just to briefly rehash what's going on is okay. Elon Musk acquired Twitter, and I got back on there, and I'm tweeting. Mainly, I'm on there to track the top people in Bitcoin. I really see it as, while the world is being destroyed by Jews and they're trying to overthrow Russia and secure a global revolution, they want to, the two last sort of sticking points are Russia and China, who themselves are working together. And I think the Jews are going to fail, but nevertheless, through Victoria Nuland, they're trying to foment revolution in Russia. Russia tolerated it for 8 years since Maidan in 2014. And now they have said, okay, Ukraine was on the point of view of invading. Russia jumped the gun and beat them to it, and has now taken over a good portion of Ukraine and fighting back. And now the USA just secured $33 billion. We have loads of people in the street, no housing, prices rising, inflation worse than ever, and they somehow have $33 billion to ship arms to Ukraine to support the Jewish global world revolution they're trying to pull off. Absolutely outrageous. And meanwhile, but the most significant thing since we last came to Elon Musk has acquired Twitter, driving the blue checks nuts. I got back on there and I'm posting a little bit on Twitter, but mainly I'm still posting on Pi-ville, and I copy stuff because you can't really trust they're going to actually allow Jew criticism on there. Apparently, some people have been banned, but you would assume the deal isn't really fully finalized and fleshed out. Give him 6 months, see if he replaces the Stalinist censors there. But I am posting on there mainly to talk about Bitcoin. What's going on? The biggest picture is the world is being destroyed by Jews. A new world is being built around Bitcoin and crypto by white men. Period. End of sentence. That's what I think is happening. The only people who are happy and excited and see a good future are the people who are into crypto. You listening to this absolutely must get some Bitcoin. It is down right now. I know I recommended it all last year when it was in the 50s and 60s, 40s, and now it's even below 40. Now is a very good time. It's very likely to be down for another 6 months to 12 months. According to one guy who was right when everybody else was saying it was going up over 100,000 at the end of last year, which I believed, I thought it was too. I was wrong. Now that same guy is saying it's probably likely to go back down even maybe to 20, but you have a good year to acquire some Bitcoin. You absolutely must acquire some Bitcoin. This is a bigger revolution than the printing press, what is coming. And you can tell all the right people hate it. Recently, within the last year, and it's picking up steam, so you still have the chance to buy now before it's 10 times higher. And yeah, I know all hypes and scams use that exact same, oh, you're under pressure to buy now or it's going to be out of sight. And it takes longer than you think, but eventually it's going to happen. El Salvador has adopted Bitcoin as legal tender, and is followed by one of the two Congos, whatever it's called, in Africa has
Yes.
adopted. They actually have a black head who's a PhD in math of all things. The head of Congo has adopted it. So that's good. And on the other side, you've got the IMF is angry and has said so publicly. They're angry Bitcoin was adopted by El Salvador, and they're angry that Central African Republic, or whatever it's called, has also adopted Bitcoin. And then the third thing is, I'm calling him, my nickname for him is okay, Schwab, right? You'll own nothing and be happy, World Economic Forum, Great Reset, that guy who is a Rothschild by descent. I'm calling him Roth Schwab from now on. So Roth Schwab has now said Bitcoin should change its code so that it doesn't have proof of work and switches to something that's, this is one of their main attack sectors, this is bad for the environment, but it's not bad for the environment. This is just a purely cynical political attack. And now the people who are behind Bitcoin are seeing what white nationalists have always experienced. You're attacked unjustly. When you cite facts, they call you a liar. When you cite opinions, you know, they call you a hater. They can't debate you because they don't have the facts on their side. They have to deplatform you and defame you and destroy you physically if you persist, and at all costs prevent you from organizing. This is what they've done to us to destroy our race. They send their Catholics out to say, oh, no, race doesn't exist. a category of the mind. That's just something you made up, like a ghost that you saw. Race isn't a real thing. Only ethnic groups are real. And they're all about language, and magic language can turn an African into a Polak. This is what their Catholic liars say. They're Catholic ideologues. Okay, Christianity is anti-white and cannot be other. Anyway, the point is the happy, successful white people building something new are basically all in crypto. That they out of the ashes of the old world destroyed by Jews is coming this new thing that's going to be based on crypto. And it's not just money. It's a million other things that ramify from having honest, solid money. You can't get any money without doing something people actually want and need done. Like a part of the printing press is the distortion of the economy to where what's a distortion? Well, $33 billion going to Ukraine is a distortion. No one needs that stuff. We don't need that all that $1 billion, that $1 trillion defense budget. Russia's defense budget is like $60 billion, and they're in a war. We're in no wars. We just have to maintain all these military bums and fund this Jewish global revolution. That's a distortion, having all the math and science PhDs working for defense, as most of them do. They should be out doing something actually useful. The economy is distorted so that Jews can steal the money off the top and go play their global revolution game. So you understand this. Bitcoin threatens all this because you can't just print it. It's locked at 21 million. 19 million of them have already been mined. There's only 2 million left to mine. And supposedly at least 4 million have been lost, right? So the actual number is only 17 million. And no doubt more will be lost. And we can build a whole global monetary base layer out of these millions of Bitcoin. And you need to own some of that to be in this.
Alex,
and trust me when I say that's what you need to do for your future.
If I may make
it's the most important political activism we can do today is acquiring Bitcoin, believe it or not. I mean, I can tell you to go out there. What I can tell you to go out there and write some songs advancing our cause. Oh, you get thrown in jail. You go to the Capitol. Oh, you're a terrorist. And they throw you in jail. You go vote. They don't count your vote. They manipulate it through their software. So none of that will get you anywhere. Okay. But getting some Bitcoin can actually make you rich, and money is part of having power. If you want some actual power, work, get some money, get some shitty Zog bucks and go spend it on Bitcoin and just hold it and wait. This is what you do to be part of Team White. You must do this. It's very important. All right, I ranted a bit there, Jan, but
No problem.
Trying to show the correlation of all this stuff.
It's good.
Anyway, let me just wrap that up. So all these Twitter people, they're not on the Fediverse. They're all on Twitter. So that's one reason I'm back on Twitter following them, and I'm starting to inject because they believe that Bitcoin is inevitable. So I start sticking the idea that none of them will talk about that. Okay, so Bitcoin is specifically aimed to destroy central banking. And central banking is 100% Jewish. Now, do you think the Jews are not going to fight back? And yet all the Bitcoin people believe that Bitcoin's triumph is inevitable, but they'll never mention that central banking is Jewish. And I'm twitting them on that on Twitter. Twitter's for twitting people, right? So, but I'm doing it very carefully. I don't care if I'm banned or not. You know, we can't trust Musk, certainly, but let's get into that a little bit. Jan, you know, or do you have anything to say and talk about Musk? He's really been taking some shots over here. It's pretty interesting. He's made the Jews very uncomfortable to have a goyim owning what's essentially the town square, as they call it, which I don't think is accurate, but it certainly has a lot of people.
Okay.
And they don't like a non-Jew in charge of that at all.
Okay, a couple of things. Good that you mentioned that African country, because I wanted to mention that last time. It's the Central African Republic. Yes, they've adopted Bitcoin. Just a quick note, in my own investigations of Bitcoin and crypto stuff, I've noticed that if you dig into the people who mine things like Bitcoin and Ethereum and so forth, all the mining is based on the concept called proof of work. And it looks to me almost like there's a bit of a war on proof of work, because if you look at the people who are doing proof of work, They are, if you go onto YouTube, for example, you'll see it's almost exclusively young white guys who are doing proof of work. So they're using computers to acquire Bitcoin through mining it on a physical device. But if you go to proof of stake, if you go to proof of stake, then somebody who's very wealthy can acquire that same stuff without
Yeah,
having to
it's well,
go through
see,
that.
this is the heart of the battle, proof of work versus proof of stake. So they're proof of work is bad. Anyone can set up and start mining it. So total equality, and anyone
Yes.
can solve the problem and get a Bitcoin. Proof of stake, the
You
more
just
stake you
need
have,
money.
the more you get. So it's essentially the same system we've got now. The people who own the Fed and have the most money are the main stakeholders, and they're
Bingo.
immiserating, as I like to say, everybody else. So proof of work is better, but see, their attack angle on it is, oh, you're using up all this computing power. Well, a big deal. Energy exists to be used, and they're also using a lot of energy that wasn't being used otherwise and couldn't be. Energy is not fungible. You can't simply send it from here to there and equally use it. It gets lost along the way, or it's just simply not possible. So they're setting up wherever they can get some of this lost energy or energy that would otherwise be useless, and mining Bitcoin. So
Alex,
no, you, and that's
it's
why Schwab wants them to switch to proof of stake so it can be more easily controlled. Yeah,
Alex,
Jan, if you
that
have something to add on that.
my apologies for interjecting. The all that argument about it's about energy, etc., that's bullshit because lots of the big crypto companies weren't using anybody's energy. They were run by solar. It was run for free. It's like this carbon gas kind of bullshit, you know. Oh, we got to
Yeah.
stop it because it's damaging the environment and
Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
water's going to flood. Bullshit. Bullshit.
Well, so as someone said, you know, the whole idea of a carbon footprint is bullshit from some oil company, some corporation. It's not a valid concept, and yet because they're able to get people to imprint on this stuff, they've trained them with Christianity into all this excessive moralizing, and then they just reapply it to secular politics, and they do that all over the place. So this again is just a way. It's a just a way to attack Bitcoin. But one point, Jeff Booth, who is one of the better crypto analysts, the top crypto people are Robert Breedlove, Michael Saylor. There's a guy named Greg Foss, and he's from Canada, and Max Keiser above all. Go watch these people's YouTube interviews and get up to speed on what Bitcoin actually is. But a point Jeff Booth makes is the energy that will be saved by Bitcoin. And again, another way they're advancing is this ESG, where essentially it's another way to force corporations to adopt leftist values and goals, or they will get, you know, attacked on the stock market or delisted or downgraded. So they're continually trying to smuggle politics in what ought to be straightforward business or economics, or politics is what leftists do. They're always it's always veiled moralizing that represents bad leftist goals, and they can't advocate for it openly because it's irrational and it's destructive. So they have to try to smuggle it in under the name of something that people respect. I think I've made this point 1,000 times. What is left that people actually respect? Well, they used to respect science. Now, with the 2 years of complete lying from Fauci and the rest of these clowns, even science is brought into disrespect because these people have abused its name by presenting politics in drag as science. And so it is with the ESG, environmental sustainability, that kind of crap, carbon footprint, another thing, politics masquerading as science. So Booth points out that when you have an honest system, when you have honest money, so many bad things flow from fiat money. And fiat just means I force you to accept this, where it's controlled by people who can print more of it. So many bad things, so many distortions of the economy result that will be eliminated when you have one universal, global, reliable money, which is Bitcoin. Those distortions will disappear because the only way you'll be able to get money is to do something people actually want, not something that's a dressed up political goal of a tiny, destructive, anti-white minority. So that's the biggest picture in relation to any environmental concerns. And like Jan is saying, you know, you can mine it using any kind of energy. That's why they're gonna use the steam power coming out of the volcanoes in El Salvador to mine it. And they're even putting out bonds on that. I guess they've been delayed, but they're going to put out volcano bonds. El Salvador, meanwhile, has had a big, since Nayib Bukele is the leader of El Salvador, and very pro-Bitcoin. Basically, he's listening to Max Kaiser and doing what he says. El Salvador has bought a bunch of Bitcoin. They made Bitcoin legal tender. They've come up with their own country wallet that they've given to everybody to help encourage the use of it, although it's not mandatory to use it. It's somewhat mandatory to accept it but not use it. And then they're also arresting huge, literally thousands, if not over 10,000 gangbangers down there. And what these are is these MS-13 people have really metastasized up north, because half of El Salvador's population is in the USA, either in Southern California or actually a huge number of them around Washington, D.C. They go back to El Salvador, and he's arrested thousands and thousands of these gangbangers. So tourism is going up, the economy is improving, and you're seeing real growth. And other countries down in Central and South America are looking at legalizing Bitcoin. I know Panama is, and other ones are. So the people have the greatest need to change this, because they don't even have bank accounts or functioning systems down there, have the greatest incentive to adopt Bitcoin. And Africa also. This is what's coming. It's the basis of a true, better New World Order, not the bogus Jew top-down one. So I encourage you, you've got to understand this and get yourself involved in it. Because if you have even a little Bitcoin in 10 years, that's going to make a huge difference. Because the USA ain't going nowhere but straight down. Believe that.
Well, Alex, it's the same.
So I'm trying to tie it all together for people. Yeah.
A quick one on climate scams. In the 1990s, I was very fascinated by the ozone hole. Do you remember the ozone hole?
Yes.
And your fridge. Your fridge was going to get us all killed. You got to change the stuff in the gases in your fridge or whatever. We're going to come out and destroy the ozone hole, and we're all going to die from radiation, etc. And at the time, I was looking at that stuff, and I even got a book where somebody went and somebody wrote a book called "The Hole in the Ozone Story" or whatever. And it was total bullshit. All of this climate stuff is total hogwash. It's all garbage.
Yeah. Well, they use the fact that stuff goes up and down. There's all kinds of natural cycles, and we understand some and we don't understand others. And they just use, oh, there's going to be just lies, lies, lies. All of it is directed. What's consistent in all of their lies?
Jews.
Their anti-human, anti-white agenda. They want to take money from you and transfer it to the highest level of government they possibly can, hopefully culminating in a global slave state. That's what they want. And guess who will be running that slave state, and guess who will be the slaves? Just like we have now, except writ as large as possible, taking over the earth. So we got to fight the Jews.
Well, Alex, everything they do works against the Western world and against the white man. But go and look every time the blacks stuff up. Guess who comes and saves them from certain death? Those same Jew scum misdirect white money to go and feed blacks who can't feed themselves, who killed the white farmers, etc. Now they come and they feed the blacks. I was looking at my old data about things like HIV. When HIV came out, blacks were dropping dead like flies in some of the countries to the north of us. And then America came with all these drug cocktails, saved millions of blacks from dying. If only we just let nature take its course.
Yeah, but we can't let nature take its course, because that's against Christian morality. We got to save every last freaking defective on earth and bring them the good news of Jesus Christ, the Jew. King of Kings, baby. It's pathetic.
Well, as Hitler said, if you take Christianity to its logical limit, you will have the systematic cultivation of failure.
That's exactly right. Catholic history proves that.
That's where we are. You know, here in South Africa, if I may just digress quickly, Alex, we've got lots of beggars at the streets, and I'm seeing more and more beggars again. And you get blacks begging all the time, even get the odd white who begs. But then you get black women who pitch up to beg at the traffic lights, and they bring their little children. So she comes and she sits there with two or three little kids, and then she points to her children. And apparently, the fact that she had children and now she can't feed them, that apparently is now our problem. Now we've got to give her money so that she can feed her children. And you know, these black women, Alex, they have children left, right, and center without thinking about tomorrow, without thinking about anything. And you know what they also do is when their children are sick, they have no shame. Of course, they have no shame like Jews. They go to any doctor, any place, and they just go and sit there and they say, "Oh, my child is sick. My child is sick." Now, some white doctor, some white specialist has to come and save her child, and she's got no money to pay, but you've got to keep saving them. And white people are saving. If it wasn't for white people, Africa would not have a billion people sitting on the continent now. If nature had been left alone, the population of Africa would have probably been a tenth of what it is today. But we are the reason they're alive. That's no joke.
Yeah, and our technology, and Norman Borlaug is the big name there. He was a white guy, a white scientist who developed the agriculture that essentially feeds blacks. Norman Borlaug, like a Swedish or German or something from the Midwest, I believe. Look him up, Borlaug. Look up what he did. But yeah, the Mexicans are that way here in the U.S. They're famous for swamping emergency rooms, and because the hospitals have to take in anybody who comes. They've left loads of hospitals had to go out of business because they ran out of money from and
Wow.
that's why we have in the USA, we got now, thanks to Biden trying to pack the country before he gets voted out, 200,000 a month or so, or 250,000 a month even coming in
Yes.
across the southern border, and they refuse to enforce it. And now, so Biden's going downhill. The public hates him. Even the people who voted for him hate him. And now they just have reversed, or either have or are going to reverse Roe versus Wade, which was basically an illegal political decision taken, probably the biggest simple politicization, completing a wave of anti-white, anti-constitutional legal changes back from 1963 to 73, roughly, when all the legal basis of the complete disintegration was first laid by the Jews coming to full power in the USA, and abortion would have been about the end of that. Because it used to be, even like prophylactics, condoms and stuff were illegal in a lot of states. Interracial marriage was illegal. Divorce was rare and very difficult. It always had to be for a legitimate cause. All these were reversed. And abortion was simply out of nowhere. Abortion under Roe versus Wade was determined to be a federal right, even though it's mentioned nowhere. It's obviously not a right. And if it's not a right that's specifically enumerated, then it's left to the states to decide. So the Supreme Court illegitimately just decided you had a right to an abortion. At that time, like every state in the union, including New York and the District of Columbia, it was illegal. Abortions were illegal. So in one fell swoop, they completely changed the culture. Now, the flip side of that is if they're going to now get rid of that and say it was a bad ruling, what that will do is kick it back to the states, and at this point, probably a lot of them will recriminalize abortion, as some of the southern states have been trying to do. Some of them will probably also re-legalize it at the state level. But either way, apparently there's been probably 40 million. Our black population would be like twice as large if they had not if it was not for abortion. So yeah, it's just
Yeah.
something to think about.
Well, if I may add on that 250,000 illegals per month, I came across some interesting articles. It seems that there is a little bit of a wall in Southern California or somewhere. There is some kind of wall somewhere there. And I laughed because they were complaining. They were saying that because the wall is now higher, there are more people getting injured, and one woman died because she hung upside down. And something like 375 people have been injured while trying to climb the wall. And I was thinking to myself, the wall seems to be working. So it
Oh, yeah, it
actually
poses an
killed
obstacle.
somebody
See,
and injured some.
they built it in a number of places. There's like 10 miles they had in Southern California, I think, and then they built some in Texas too. They just didn't build all that they said they were going to build. It is something of an obstacle, but it's not a big obstacle to most. So they do get in, and then it's just ridiculous.
But
It just becomes not a country.
typical liberal Jew junk, they're saying, oh, the wall is a problem because it's too high and people are getting injured. And I'm thinking the answer is make it higher or stick a machine gun on it.
They could do something effective. For almost nothing, they could just station a few people down there, and just if they just shot a few, that would end it immediately. And they just won't do it. There's no political will to enforce it, because it runs against the interest of the Jews actually running the country. So they're murdering the country, and obviously no one feels strongly enough to physically fight back. That's where we're at. We need to physically fight back. And every time we attempt to organize legally, it gets thwarted. Whether it's voting, they miscount the vote. Writing letters, they could care less. They won't publish them. Organizing physically, they outlaw if you do a paramilitary, or if you're like Chester Doles, they come, they set you up and bust you for. They can always invent a crime against anyone. So we're at the point where we need to organize violent resistance to Zog, or if we want to go the soft, passive route, work on developing a homeschool curriculum. That's the single most important thing someone could do. Or just acquire Bitcoin and grow your family and wait. Or if you're going to do intellectual stuff on the internet, like me, work to get people to understand. We've got people to understand. I think we've succeeded in getting people to understand the Jew is the root of all the problems across the West. And that having been accomplished and still being needed to be repeated, obviously, but we work on making them understand that Christianity is part of Team Jew. It's not your friend. It's the enemy to the white racial cause. And that is what I work on full time, to the extent I'm working on politics. That's my main goal right now. So that's how I see the biggest picture from you listening to this. Yeah, you've got to get some Bitcoin. Absolutely. Keep your kids out of the public school. But the other thing I wanted to talk about in this one is public schools have been going absolutely crazy. And not just in the US, but up in Canada as well. Just the bizarre transsexualism and chopping these kids up earlier and earlier, feeding them garbage. I mean, the mere feeding of them these lies about sex when they're little kids is destructive enough. And then when they're a few years older, oh, I'm a coming out is whatever, one of 50 defective bogus identities they've created. It's absolutely terrible stuff. And half these parents barely even pay attention to what their kids are being told in these schools. It's absolutely horrible.
It's evil what is done to children, Alex. It's very evil. I
Oh,
always
yeah.
used to put on my website and say, keep your children away from the Jews. Keep your children away from the Jews. They'll destroy your children.
And yeah, the Jews are the gatekeepers of what is allowed to be taught in the local public schools. See, the people still think those are controlled by local school boards, but all the textbooks they can draw from are determined out of DC by Jews. So all the guidelines for the textbooks, you have to do this and this and this, and I mean, down to how many minorities you have to include, all that garbage is decided by the Department of Education. And so you think you're getting local control, but you're not. You're getting centralized control. So again, the US has to come to an end. It's got to break up.
Well, Alex,
And in time it will.
I think the only thing to work towards is white revolution everywhere, and eventually there'll be white revolutionary armies of whites who will have to seize control of chunks of countries. I think historically that is the only thing that can come. Nothing else is going to work because, as you've said, every form of legal maneuver has every door's been closed. Even if you vote, your votes aren't counted. And in South Africa, even if we vote, it doesn't matter because we're a minority. So we're fucked.
Well, yeah, and see, Jews rely on the other guy not being willing or able to go as low as they will, and they will do literally anything. And that's why we lose. That's how a minority, a tiny minority, can defeat a large majority because they're organized. They know exactly what they're doing, and they will stop at nothing. They will use any means. And that's why I say the way to, you don't try to untie the knot, you cut the knot. And what that means is Jews simply must be exterminated. There is no Jewish question. To say there's a Jewish question serves the Jews. There is no question. There's just a problem. But there's no problem because there's a solution. The solution is exterminating them. No one says we have a termite problem. Or I'm sorry, no one says we have a termite question. Well, no more should they say we have a Jewish question. There's no question. There's no reforming this thing. There's only suffering it while it kills you, kills your nation, kills your family, kills your society, or there's taking arms and in opposing ending it, per Shakespeare. And so there's a Jewish problem and there's a Jewish solution, but there is no question. That's a bit of a rhetorical thing that's always bugged me. And the notion there's a question rather than a problem comes from the Christian approach to Jew. Oh, we got to get them to convert. Even when they convert, they just become Muranos. And Murano means a Jew pretending to be a Christian. Or who is a Christian, because what does that mean in the end? Nothing. But who acts the same way as he always did when he was a Jew. A Jew in secret is no better than a Jew in public. It's doing the same thing because it does that for racial reasons, for traits. It's a trait. The problem with the Jews is not something that can be changed by pretending to change religions. It's a racial innate thing. And that Christians specifically deny that. And that's what makes them so useful in helping Jews, regardless of what the individual Christian intends. He may believe he's fighting Jews, but he's helping them by misdefining them as a religious thing when they are a racial thing. As Hitler says in his book, and I completed the audio of Mein Kampf, both volumes. The Jew's first and biggest lie, he is a religion rather than a race, right?
Yes.
So Hitler is taking a directly anti the Catholicism he was raised in, the Catholic, oh, Jews are our fellow humans, in fact, our older brothers in Christ, and we the only legitimate thing to do is convert them. But that doesn't change anything about them, even if you do convert them. They're still Jews. Jews are a race, they're not a religion. They may have a religion, but they are not a religion, right? The problem is the thing itself, not its whatever its religious beliefs are.
Yes, that issue has come up many times, Alex, about people who are married to Jews, and I've heard people say, "Oh, but that's not a practicing Jew, but they're racially still a Jew." And the other thing as well, Alex, is Jews are even proud of the fact that they don't assimilate. And so even when you have them and you say to them, "You must assimilate," Napoleon had that problem. And then he discovered after some years when he'd freed them that they don't assimilate. They don't do the things that everyone else is supposed to do. They are a law unto themselves. They are a separate people. They should be going to their own state and, they must live by themselves. I think there was a book like that. Somebody wrote a book.
Yeah, no, there have been. All this has been pointed out. That's why I say the main intellectual work that remains to be done is persuading people that Christianity helps Jews, and that was by intention. I've talked a lot. Marcus Eli Ravage is the one you will read, and he wrote two articles that really touch on this pretty deeply. But the one I prefer is actually the lesser known one, which is Commissary to the Gentiles. And he points out that Christianity among Jews, and it had the same effect among Jews as it has among whites. It destroys the nation because it talks against race, it talks against class, it wears down because it's universal, raceless, classless. And the Jews move to stamp it out with Saul. And then they realized, hey, if this is having such a destructive effect on us, imagine what it would do if we turned it around and weaponized it against the Rome that we hate so much. And that is exactly what they did. Marcus Eli Ravage, himself a Jew, admits that. Christianity was spread and started by Jews in order to destroy Rome, white nations. It's like, we can't beat them in a military battle, but we can undermine their mentality and their spirituality using this new cult that arose among us. And that's what they did. And it did. It worked to destroy Rome. And historian Gibbon, the historian, the multi-volume historian of the Roman Empire, admits that, talks about it, and says, yeah, Christianity destroyed Rome more than any other factor. So Christianity is anti-white. It is anti-white inherently. The problems did not begin with the Scofield Bible in the late 1800s. They did not begin after Vatican II in 1964. They were there on day one because Christianity says, throw away your tribe and join the body of Christ. Throw away your family and follow Jesus, the Savior, a Jew we call God. Throw away your ancestral traditions and instead worship this people called the Jews, a race of criminals, and read this book that we wrote about them. So if you're going to abandon your own kind, say, oh, they're worth nothing. All that matters is that my fellow men, we break bread together and we're part of the body of Jesus. This Jew we worship. King of kings, king of kings, just like the niggers do. That is inherently anti-white. Go read Commissary to the Gentiles by Marcus Eli Ravage. It remains evergreen for understanding. It was written 100 years ago for understanding what Christianity actually is. Okay, it's super important. He's laughing at it. He's stupid anti-Semites. He's like, yeah, we're behind all your revolutions. In Europe, we're behind all this modern communist garbage, and you idiots are too dumb to see that your entire thing is based on crap that we fed you, and that crap is Christianity. They're just a race of desert swindlers.
And in that other,
they say about themselves is a lie.
In that what? Other article, he mocks us, and he says our greatest crime is that you worship all our heroes, and he laughs at us.
Yeah. So you throw away your people to read this Bible, which is all about the Jews, a foreign people who hate you and want to see you destroyed. How absurd is that? And then you tell people and you get the right NPC. They can't handle it. Even though you've objectively laid out, here's what it is. They can't handle it because for emotional reasons, they associate Christianity with good things. But most of them are subpar intellectually. They think if something good existed and Christianity was the white religion, then Christianity caused it. But it's not so. Christianity caused your undermining. Christianity is everywhere while whites are going downhill. So Christianity doesn't protect whites. Christianity, as E. Michael Jones has said, Christianity protects, Catholicism protects Jews. Whiteness doesn't exist. Jews exist, but not whites. I mean, there you go. That's the ultimate Christian Catholic reduction to absurdity. Race doesn't matter. It's just a matter of skin color or ear conformation. This is how badly these people lie. And what you come to realize is Catholicism is a matter of softer or harder lying. And ultimately, Judaism, Jews and Christians are playing a good cop, bad cop. The good cop pretends he's on your side, but he's actually on the side of the bad cop. So Christianity is the Jewish good cop, and Jews proper are the bad cop. And through stick and carrot, they're trying to get you to abandon your own kind, abandon your race, abandon any racial feeling, and become part of a universal, generic, raceless, classless group that worships a Jew as God. So that's where the ultimate destruction of our kind comes from. And Christianity works with Jews in order to genocide our kind.
Yeah, Alex, I can say other things about Christianity and blacks and how that has not worked for us, but I think we'll move forward on to other things. That's maybe a topic for another day. Something else, Alex, before I forget, I came across another thing. There's some kind of global meeting called COP26. I'm not sure if it's some kind of globalist climate bullshit, but I came across an interesting mention that the Jew Yellen of the Fed, that she came up with an idea that $150 trillion must be spent to transform the US economy. And that's all that I've been able to get out of this. And somebody's going to have some kind of meeting about it or show about it. But I can't get more details on it. But I just about fell on my back. $150 trillion must be spent to transform the US economy. What the heck is going on there?
I don't know, but I mean, where are they going to get the 150 trillion?
Probably
There's only one place.
just print it all anyway.
Of course, it doesn't exist, so they'd have to print it. It sounds like a version of modern monetary theory. These idiots like AOC, as they call her, the Puerto Rican bartender, well, we just print all we need, okay, inflation will keep going up. Now, what we just had the other day, the Fed actually rose the interest rate like a half a percent. So, what most analysts think is going to happen is, yeah, they're doing what they should be doing, but they can't keep doing it because it's already too late. They've already printed too much. So, when they raise the interest rate, the economy contracts, throws people out of work, and just goes downhill. And then what's eventually going to happen is they're going to go back to massive money printing. So, what you want to do is use this time. Stocks are down. Crypto is down less than stocks. Bitcoin generally tracks with NASDAQ, second stock market after the main stock market. But this is when you want to acquire Bitcoin while it's in this down period, and then it's going to halve again in 2024. So we're already like 2 years out. So spend the next year acquiring Bitcoin is what we can tell you to do, or at least I can tell you to do it. I think Jan's on board too, though. But yeah. Yeah, there's no end of nuts who wanna use endless amounts of money, and what will they do? They'll just grow bigger bubbles, bigger tumors, because everything they subsidize is bad. It's all distortions of what should be the. It's all feeding money to bad people to get more bad behavior, and it's all utterly bad and should go away. And they shouldn't be doing anything. The government should disband itself. It's utterly destructive, the American government. It's utterly unneeded. All we need is ordinary white men carrying on their ordinary daily business to run our lives. But the government has basically enslaved them and uses their production to fund its global Jewish wars abroad while funding the war in the white population at home inside all these nations through invasion and subsidy of defective behavior from blacks and et cetera. So yeah, that kind of stuff is pretty common. These people have no understanding of economics at all, or so to them, why are people rich? Because the government prints more money and gave them more money. They believe they've studied this. The average black believes everybody could be a millionaire and the only reason they're not is the government wants them to suffer. They don't understand anything about money at all. So if they get control of the government, that's exactly what they're going to do. Just print money and give it to themselves. So yeah,
Alex.
America's a completely corrupt country. There's nothing reliable or truthful in any of the media, and the politicians are completely Jew beholden criminals. Just how it is.
Here in South Africa, the ANC, which is our ruling party, they with the communists and their Jewish and liberal backing, they told the blacks at one point that the reason why people are rich is because all white people have got credit cards and they can spend as much money as they want. And the blacks believe, and of course, the blacks believe it. You know,
Oh,
these are
yeah.
also arguments against democracy and many other things. But if you're stupid, you're stupid. That's bad news. You wanted to talk about Elon Musk and Twitter. So, Alex, I'm a bit of I am a skeptic about Elon Musk. He is a South African, and again, I went and hunted for data on him to try and see what the hell can I find out about him. And this time I was a little bit more thorough. And Alex, there are some strange things in Elon Musk's family, in that you'll find that they got some strange names. I even saw a Jewish article quoting the fact that his name Elon is almost sounding like Hebrewish. But when I look at his family past, his father is actually a British soldier, and his mother is a Canadian model. And it's quite rare, actually, that this Canadian woman. Yes?
Not sure about that. He's like Pennsylvania Dutch. Yeah, his first name Elon means oak tree in Hebrew, but he is
Okay.
not Jewish. Even if he may have gone to a Jewish school there in South Africa, he is not a Jew. I've looked this up. There are multiple Jew sites confirming he is not a Jew. People, they can't they will say that he is, but no, he's like Pennsylvania Dutch. They went up to Canada. I don't know where you get being a British soldier, but no, they were Pennsylvania Dutch originally, I think. And then his dad went up to Canada and met his mom, and then from that point, I don't know, somehow they wound up down in South Africa. I think they were associated with mines down there.
Okay, it may even be his father's father who was the soldier, but he's from Britain. So the father is from Britain and the mother's from Canada, but they spent most of their time in South Africa. The father, his name is Errol Musk, and he's very clever in engineering. He's apparently very brilliant, and he made a lot of money out of an engineering company. At a point, he also managed to get like half ownership of a emerald mine in Zambia, though there's some dispute over that. But the bottom line is Elon grew up in quite a wealthy family, but the father was very controlling, and much later the mother divorced the father, and then she actually took her three children. And I noticed that some of his like brother and sister, they've also got strange sort of almost Jewy sounding names, like the brother's name is Kimball, the daughter's name is very Jewy. But you're right, they're not actual Jews, and there's nothing that you can tie them to actual Jews. They didn't go to a Jewish school. He actually grew up in Pretoria, which is very Afrikaans. So it should be conservative, even a bit of right wing, but strangely, but definitely no Jewish. And then, of course,
Yeah, okay.
later that he got out to Canada using his mom's passport.
Yeah, Jan Musk has British and Pennsylvania Dutch ancestry. When Musk was a child, his adenoids were removed because doctors suspected that he was deaf, but his mother later decided he was thinking, quote, in another world. The family was very wealthy. In Elon's youth, Errol Musk, his father, once said, "We had so much money at times we couldn't even close our safe." After his parents divorced in 1980, Musk mostly lived with his father in Pretoria and elsewhere. So he is part British, part Pennsylvania Dutch, by way of Canada, by way of South Africa. And he says his father is Errol Musk, like Errol Flynn, a white South African electromechanical engineer, pilot, sailor, consultant, and property developer, who was once a half owner of a Zambian emerald mine near Lake Tanganyika. And he has a brother named Kimball and a sister named Tosca.
Yes, Tosca. Now, Tosca, I've come across as an actual Jewish first name, But it doesn't mean anything in this case. They're not Jews, but it was a Jewy kind of a thing. And you'll find other Jewy names, but they might just know Jews or stuff, but they're
Those
not
don't sound
Jews.
too Jewy to me. Tosca sounds Italian. Kimball doesn't sound Jewy to me. His maternal grandfather, Joshua Haldeman, that's a German type name, was an adventurous American-born Canadian who took his family on record-breaking journeys in a single-engine Blanca airplane to Africa and Australia. So both of his sides were pretty far flung. So Pennsylvania Dutch, British, German Canadian. So Haldeman, one of Nixon's advisors, was named Bob Haldeman. He called him, he had two advisors, he called him his German shepherds, Haldeman and Ehrlichman. Now, a lot of idiots, oh, they're Jews. They're not Jews. They were German descent under Richard Nixon. So here's another Haldeman who is the maternal line of Elon Musk. So, yeah, anyway, so this guy has just acquired Twitter. So far, he's banned some, or maybe he hasn't taken full control. I don't know. I'm on there posting. I wanted to tell people, if you want to follow me on there, I'm at, trying to figure out what I'm at. I'm not even really sure, but
Or you can give it and I can put it in the description of the video.
I think I'm at Alex 63501 Linder. Just my zip code 63501 in the middle. Yeah, pretty sure. Let me see. How do you find your own damn name on there? That's bizarre.
I wouldn't know. But anyway, Alex, I also did a bit of just other reading, and I see that the liberals and lefties are flipping out over Elon Musk. And even though Elon has said he's said that the way he'll know he's doing things right is if 10% of the people on the left are unhappy and 10% of the people on the right are unhappy. But of course, it all boils down to what exactly his definitions work out as. But it is interesting. I mean, he's not like a right winger. He's not even like a conservative. But he is freaking people out. So that's maybe a good sign. That's they're
Yeah,
flipping.
it remains to be seen what he'll do. But in another, that's a good tweet you read. And then in another one, he said basically, you don't need to go that far beyond the First Amendment. He's saying he's almost saying, look, you've got a First Amendment that defines what's legal speech. And so you don't really need to do much more than that. I think is the spirit he was saying that in. So maybe he'll leave people alone. But again, I don't know. People are already saying they're banned and whatever. But I mean, to me, if people aren't idiots, you got to give them 6 months to a year to get full control and to determine what they're going to do. But I'm mainly on there to make a few tweets, as I said, directed at some of the top ones in crypto and see if they can deal with or they want to ignore the possible Jewish blowback to Bitcoin as it continues to spread. I am kind of just fucking with them, but very, very carefully. I've only really tweeted one. I tweeted at one of the two Winklevosses that founded Facebook, right? That had it stolen from
Okay.
them by Zuckerberg. And one of the Winklevosses basically said, and these people are all coming down in favor. It's just so funny because it's a perfect split. All the goyim favor Musk and free speech, and all the left wingers are Jews and they hate speech. So Winklevoss, one of them says, they're twins, one of them says, the internet used to be free. What happened? So I added him, which I'm very reluctant to do, but I specifically wanted to here because it's kind of pulling on your sleeve. I said, it got Jewed, just like your Facebook.
And did he
So ho
respond?
hoping to, I'm little tweaks like that. No, he didn't respond, as far as I know. I haven't subsequently looked it up. In fact, I should check that, but I don't remember seeing any response. I did get a couple followers off it, so it must have appeared. But making little points like that, like, okay, the internet was free too, and now it's not free. And a lot of people are saying this is very important people to understand, right? The internet has like 3.7. Okay, let me put it this way. In 1990, we are now with Bitcoin and crypto where the internet was in like 1996. There's literally like the same number, like 140 million users of Bitcoin. There was 140 million internet users in 1996. Today there's 3.7 billion. Now, what if in another 20 years there's 7 billion Bitcoin users or 3.7 billion? What do you think Bitcoin will be worth? Think about it. We're at the very start. It's not too late to get into it. That's why I keep, you may say, hyping it or just promoting it so much, because this is something I can tell you to do that is absolutely positive. Whereas if I tell you to do anything else, I can't even tell you to go contact someone and complain because they'll claim it's targeted harassment and incitement, right? Everything the left doesn't want to hear becomes somehow illegal. This is something you can do for yourself to strengthen yourself, your family, your line. And believe me, your grandkids are going to hate it that you had a chance to buy this and did not. You've got to get some of this if you want to be around in the fight for the future. This is power. Bitcoin is power that is actually open right now to whites. And all you need to do is get it, is have some money. Get some Zogbucks, some shitty deflating currency that is taxed and has the other of its value stolen through inflation. Take that and get some Bitcoin with it. Bitcoin has been the biggest growing asset of the last 10 years, and it's probably going to be the biggest growing in the next 10 years. That's why I'm talking about it so much. You understand?
Yeah, nice. Yep.
So anyway, is there what you're talking about Elon Musk? Any points you want to make? Any other points? Or that's kind of his background. So don't listen to people saying he's a Jew. He's not a fucking Jew. People are idiots and they have very, very low standards. The fact that something printed doesn't make it true. Go out and look at the Jew sources. They would absolutely be jumping up and down shouting about how he was a Jew if he was a Jew. They specifically affirm multiple, all of them I could find, he is not a Jew.
Yes.
He's German British background, from parents that were rich and were all over the place. So a pretty interesting guy, actually.
And you know what they also kind of tried to hide is the fact that he grew up and lived in apartheid South Africa.
Yeah, they talk about that. And they're starting to hit like, oh, the only ones obsessed with freedom of speech are white males as they work to make it white males the only subset that it's legal to criticize. Everyone else you have to bow before. So yeah, they why are whites so obsessed with free speech? Jews, anything Jews don't want you to think about, you're obsessed with it.
These
But
people.
what anything else you know about him from South Africa, or does he have any reputation there, or what do people think? You there, Jan?
Sorry, Alex, I had my mute on. My apologies. I haven't dug locally to try and see if anybody knows more about him here. That is maybe something I could do one day. His father has remained in South Africa. His father apparently it, his father's that's another thing is you'll see Elon and his mother and the siblings, they all left South Africa. They're in America. They're all doing well. The mother's also been, I think she's a writer or something. But the father is in South Africa, and they try to speak as little as possible about the father. But the father, I managed to come across an interview that the father gave to a local Jew-owned radio station here in South Africa called Radio 702. 702 was created by a Jew called John Birks. And 702 is like the liberal multiracial station in Johannesburg. And they actually interviewed the father in 2015. He comes across quite interesting. He sounds very South African. He now lives in Johannesburg. The father is kind of naughty, and the father has got a different attitude that's like embarrassing to them. So they don't like to talk about the father. The father at one time said that he had tried to move to America but didn't like it there, and he came back to South Africa even though South Africa is more dangerous. The father also, it seems, while he lives in Johannesburg somewhere. And it seems like black criminals broke into his home, and it looks like he shot three of them dead. He killed three of them.
Wow.
And yeah, and so he's quite a tough guy. He's quite a macho like white bloke. And I think his whole His whole attitude is a bit too hectic for them in the liberal Jew media in America. So they try to not talk about him as much as possible. And his father did another very naughty thing. One of the younger girls in the family, I'm not sure if it's some kind of cousin or something, but this younger girl broke up with her boyfriend or her husband, and she needed a place to stay, and she went and stayed with Elon Musk's father. And then the two of them had sex. And then there was a freaking baby. So he boinks this girl 30 years younger than him, who's like related in the family, and she gets pregnant, and they don't have an abortion, and the child actually is born. And I saw a picture of the daughter and the child, a nice little baby, and the girl is healthy. And so this old dad actually like helps to look after this baby, this like naughty bit of naughty sex that he had. So the fact that they didn't have an abortion is a big plus in my mind. It might be unsuitable for Christians, but I don't think it was quite a crime. Maybe a little bit immoral, but not a crime. And
Yeah.
yeah, kind of strange.
Okay, well, Jan, what does the audience need to know about Elon Musk and the Musks? You sum it up and I'll sum it up.
Well, Alex, I think we can just say that they are definitely white, no Jews. They come from South Africa, apartheid background, and Elon seems to genuinely be a clever guy. He got into computers through his father, and it seems like Elon was driven to get out of South Africa. That's the main thing. He decided he got to get out of South Africa. And his mother helped facilitate it, and all of them left, but the fathers remained behind, and they are rather embarrassed by the father.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I'll say the same thing and just say this guy is very, very competent. I just read through his I'm reading through his Wikipedia page. My God, he's been involved. He the interesting thing psychologically, he was beat up a lot as a kid. So he was a super smart, introverted kid. He got beat up a lot, but he got tougher and got over it. He was involved with all kinds of technology. He just started coding. He learned it out of a manual, started coding, sold stuff. Yeah, you're right. He got into Canada, then he got into the US. He did stuff. He worked along the way. He started getting into technology, worked with newspaper technology, Chicago Tribune and New York Times even. Then he got into Silicon Valley, he got into PayPal, and then he got into so he's gone done nothing. Nothing but go straight up. So he has to be someone of extraordinary capability. I never had all that much respect, but when I read through his biography, he is clearly a very tough, determined, able person, and he is certainly not a Jew. So yeah, very interesting to watch. I have no great hopes for what he'll allow on Twitter, but if he sticks to the First Amendment, then I guess people like me will be able to tweet on there. But whether that happens or not, I don't really give a damn because I'm at pieville.net, and anyone can join there, and I won't ban them for criticizing Jews, and that's what free speech in practical terms actually means. So, but I'm very glad he took it over. He has a nice wit about him. He's a very funny guy, and he's kind of recaptured a lot of the spirit that America used to have, but is really lost in this age of these neo-Puritan Jew-flavored censors who making inappropriate facial movements, and like when they used to joke about the old speech codes at some of these schools as far back as the 1980s and the origins of Semitical correctness, which is now going absolutely crazy as everyone tries to become a tranny, and even chop up these young kids when they're, underage. It's absolutely insane what's going on. So his is a move in the right direction, but does it have any greater meaning? I don't know. For me, it means I can tweet at, like I said, at some of the top and follow much more easily the top people in crypto. They are the ones building the new world. If you are young and white, I can honestly advise if you're like 10, 12, 13, 14, and you're into computers or coding, you've got to get into this crypto and get into that. And that is where your future will absolutely be because it's open to talent. They're not going to care or discriminate against you for being white. And this stuff is just getting going. There's loads you can do in this. So make a beeline for that. Find the people working on stuff that interests you. Learn how to do it yourself by hook or by crook and get into it. And totally encourage you, if you're a young white male, this is the thing you want to be in. In fact, you might consider just up and moving to Texas and finding something to associate with, getting by until you get the right training or you find exactly the right situation, and you'll do just fine.
Alex, the only thing that I forgot to mention was his involvement in PayPal and the fact that PayPal was so nasty to all of us. And that's the only negative that scares me a bit. I don't know if he was responsible, but
maybe
he's changed.
Well, remember, Jan, I don't know to what extent it was him, Thiel, or there was a third who was a Jew who was involved in that. PayPal signed up with the ADL in the last year, but PayPal was banning people, as far as I know, almost from the day it started. And PayPal is a private company. It's in a weird gray legal area. It's not a true bank.
Yes.
So it's probably considerably, as you would know from your own personal background, it's probably considerably freer to do. But the fact it just joined with ADL, it was censoring people from day one for political reasons, as far as I know. So was Amazon, for that matter. We got kicked off of Amazon within about 3 months of being an affiliate. And, you know, people could buy stuff through your company and you would get a kickback on the price, which is awesome because, you know, you're attracting a lot of eyeballs like VNN was, and you're getting, you're having people write and they could buy through there and you get a little percentage. Great. Perfect. Works. Got banned after about three quarters of that. So Amazon and PayPal were banning from like day one. Now he has no connection to Amazon, but, in fact, if anything, he'd be kind of at odds. Bezos kind of took a shot at him, but, very, very interesting turn of events.
And
do I expect any? I have no expectations whatsoever in terms of how it will work out. And I don't know to what extent he was in charge of PayPal's editorial decision or their decision to ban people for politics. I have no idea. Go ahead, Jan.
Maybe he wasn't really related. And I have laughed when I see that it seems like he's starting to like hit Bill Gates and so forth. So their own rivalries are coming out, and maybe it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
He's genuinely funny. He is a genuinely funny person, and his tweets are fun. So I like that alone. Now, how far down he's willing to go to clean out these social justice third world scum out of his board of directors and get them out of day-to-day controlling tweets, I don't know. Well, it remains to be seen. I don't even have a prediction because I don't have any idea.
Alex,
he's got a lot on his plate. He's got Tesla and other stuff. So, you know, I don't know how much of his time he even has to spend with Twitter, but we'll see.
I saw an article where they said that I think they said to all the staff or somebody something about their jobs are only secure for 6 months. I can't remember exactly who they said it to, but there is some kind of message that did go through Twitter that caused a bit of a shock. That does suggest change.
Jan, in theory, all they have to do, what the world wants, and this is terms of service that's evenly enforced, and that's what you can't get anywhere. All he has to do is say, if it's legal under the First Amendment, you can do it on Twitter with these exceptions, A, B, C, D, and then enforce it that way. That's all he has to do. The problem is the left is basically a cult, and their whole reason for getting up in the morning is to look for witches to burn. They're not going to stop doing that. So it really, it all does come down to what Musk wants and how far he is willing to work to bring it about. It really is interesting.
Yep.
It's definitely a little chink in a little hole in the dam. It absolutely is. So, but I have no great hopes for it, but I don't know. I'll just watch it and see.
Yeah. No, very interesting. And everything in life, Alex, is top down. If the guy at the top will determine most of what happens. Yeah.
Exactly.
But interesting.
That's why, you know, you come to mypival.net, you're not going to get censored for talking about Jews. You know, the only thing I have is I don't want a bunch of porn on there. I don't want anything illegal. Beyond that, you can pretty much post what you want. But my terms of service is the truth. It says we can ban you at any time for any reason. And that's the actual terms of service of every single thing out there. I'm the only one who states it overtly. But that is the actual terms of service everywhere. They'll just make up a reason that they don't need one. They won't admit it, but that's what they do. They'll have a term of service that goes on for 20 pages, but what they'll do is whatever they feel like doing in the end. And mine alone states that forthrightly. John, what's going on in South Africa these days anyway? Is there we've heard about Musk, we've heard about the USA and the flipping of abortion, and the left trying to create an issue that will actually make people not hate it because of Biden's complete and utter failure. We know about the war in Ukraine and Russia, Jews foment world revolution. What's going on in South Africa?
Okay.
Now, any updates on this?
All right, let me hit with some quick things. By the way, just something that I want to mention. The Jew Zelensky in Ukraine, he definitely seems to be a cocaine user. Everybody, I see the mass media is trying to hide it, etc., and claim it's all fake news. I looked at the video, looked at the photos. I'm sure that that was a real pile of cocaine on his desk and that it just slipped out, and now they're busy doing damage control. Another Jew topic that I want to just mention. The richest Jews in South Africa are the Oppenheimers. They own a company called Anglo American. It is basically a worldwide monopoly. It's a worldwide monopoly of diamonds. And it like controls literally the world's diamond market. Now, these Oppenheimers own these companies that basically were in the Boer republics. This is basically Boer wealth from 120 years ago when the British came and destroyed the Boers. And it's this Boer wealth that everybody else is sucking off. And these Jews are the main owners. So anyway,
Jan, didn't the Oppenheimers the ones that dragged Britain into the war to destroy the Boers and take over the mineral wealth of South Africa?
It's the Rothschilds in Britain who started it. And Rothschilds with their agent, Cecil John Rhodes, who is an Englishman, they are the ones who fomented a war. And then basically when they destroyed the Boers, then all these Jews from Britain and Germany as well dived into South Africa, and everybody bought up mines left, right, and center. Them along with Cecil Rhodes was like the representative for Rothschild, actually. So I want to tell you about.
Yeah. Okay. So the Oppenheimers I was thinking of the Rothschilds. You're right. So they got Britain in there, get the Boers out of the way. And then all these other carpetbagging Jews came in, and among them the Oppenheimers.
Yes, there's lots of carpetbagging Jews. There's even another carpetbagging Jew, Alex, that I didn't even know was a Jew. This is from Rhodesian history. In Rhodesian history, you'll find that there's another hero, another rich hero called Alfred Beit. Alfred Beit turns out to be a German Jew. And Beit also made his fortune stealing, you know, like you say, carpet bagging all the wealth of the Boers, you know. So I want to just mention something about the Oppenheimers, Alex, because I think the Oppenheimers are busy hiding a bunch of stuff. And what is happening is the Oppenheimers are the wealthiest. The Oppenheimers literally own the South African economy. That's a fact. In the time of Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd, when he was the Prime Minister of South Africa, he at a point, now Hendrik Verwoerd was killed, and Hendrik Verwoerd was wise to the Jews. He's probably the only white South African leader who was on to the Jews. And he was probably a closet National Socialist because he even studied in Germany. He spent a lot of time in Germany in the 1920s. Now, when Verwoerd was in power in the 1960s, at a point, Verwoerd asked a professor, an Afrikaans professor whose surname is Hook, and he asked Professor Hook to study the South African economy and just come back with certain give him certain answers to certain questions. And Hook came back with a thing that was called the Hook Report. And in this Hook Report, it stated that Anglo American owns 70% of the entire economy of South Africa. 70%. So the Oppenheimers own 70% of the South African economy. And then in South Africa, the mass media was split between the Afrikaans-owned mass media and the English-owned mass media. And all the English-owned mass media was owned indirectly by the Oppenheimers, because the Oppenheimers just created so many other companies which they all controlled. So these Jews owned most of South Africa's economy, and they owned the total control of all the English-speaking media in the country. Now, I've noticed in recent years, Alex, that the Oppenheimers, their wealth as registered in South Africa has been going up and then down and then up and then down. And so I suspect that they are sucking money out of South Africa. Now, another thing that I uncovered is that worldwide, when they tell you how rich somebody is, it is only based on the wealth that they have in publicly owned companies. So if you're a billionaire, but you've got money hidden away in private companies, they don't disclose it. This is true everywhere in the world. And that, I suspect, is why you don't see the Rothschilds as being the richest people in the world, because I suspect that all their stuff is sitting in private companies that you don't know anything about. That's what I suspect. So when the Rothschilds' wealth goes up and down, it's like they are selling off stocks and shares or things. But here's the interesting part. In the last year or so, the Oppenheimers' wealth, they've completely disappeared off the wealthiest people in South Africa's list. They don't even exist. And they used to be the top. But now they're nowhere. So I suspect that the Oppenheimers must have been selling off stuff, hiding stuff, moving stuff around. And
No,
so,
they're just not listing them. That they've done the same thing in the USA. They never put them in the list of like the 400 richest.
yeah.
They just don't list them.
So nowadays, because I saw the other day, I saw an article that said, oh, the richest man in Africa. And for the first time ever, the richest man in Africa was a non-white. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. And I also noticed that one of the Oppenheimers is an advocate. And he seems to be associated now with one of the Afrikaans groups that's got money, that's linked to the former traitor F.W. de Klerk. So he seems to be the advocate working with them, and they've got tons of money. So seems like some of those Christian Afrikaners and the Oppenheimers, they're big buddies now. So there's some stuff going on there. But anyway, getting back to other news, just to go through a bunch of news about Africa. In the last 50 years in Southern Africa is the part of Africa that whites dominated, that whites ruled, and that whites fought against communism. In the last 50 years in Southern Africa, $2 trillion have left Africa. $2 trillion. For our kind of small economies, that's an insane amount of money. And they reckon that annually $65 billion is leaving Southern Africa. So that makes me very happy. It tells me that globalism and Jews and the liberals, that they are not succeeding in Southern Africa, and that they're pulling money out of Southern Africa, and that this is good. That the black, no matter how much they've been trying to prop up the blacks, it's failing. And we're going backwards, and I'm happy. You never want to see your enemy strong. So that was a big piece of news for me. Just another little thing that I did on my websites. I put out a quick automated audiobook of my book, Government by Deception, just for people who might be interested in some of the old politics and some of the forgotten stuff that happened 20, 30 years ago. So I put out a bit of an audio book on that, but just a quick automated one. It's not pretty, it's not all that fun to listen to, but it just will give people insights into things. Another piece of news, Alex, somebody was writing the other day and saying that they, another white guy, always white people, the white guy wrote and said that 10, 15 years ago, he was warning that electricity is going to collapse and the water system is going to collapse. And he was saying that we must get ready. The next thing that's going to start collapsing is water. And that's also something I've been hearing for a long time, but he reckons that we're getting close now. So again, the next thing that the blacks haven't been doing, they've not been running, they've not been investing, they've
Yeah.
not been fixing the pipes, they've not been, you know, all the things that we've got, Alex, are running off infrastructure. Do you know most of South Africa's infrastructure was built in the 1960s in the time of Hendrik Verwoerd, and we are living off highways,
Oh,
water
yeah.
systems, electricity systems that were built like 40 and 50 years ago, Alex. And the blacks have not been doing maintenance, and the things are starting to implode. So, you know, more of the same coming.
Yeah, they're, yeah, it's the same in the US, wherever you have black areas, it's just continually, they don't fix anything, they just give it to niggers and they waste the money. So then they run to the feds to bail them out, and you know, eventually it's just continually running to white areas to bail out black areas, and the black areas get larger and the white areas get smaller because they have this
Exactly.
artificial burden on them, and that's why they don't reproduce as much. And then the next generation, the niggers are bigger percentage, the third worlders are a bigger percentage, the whites are a smaller percentage, and they're harder pressed to support all this garbage. And then the church is telling you everyone's equal, you know, God created everybody. The church
Race
is the white man's worst enemy if he only understood it.
is real. Race is a real thing. And IQ and inheritance are real things. They are
Oh, yeah.
very, very real. And I remember you saying, I think you said it, Alex, that the Roman Catholic Church's greatest enemy is none other than Charles Darwin.
Yeah, they I didn't even realize that until I talked to them, but they hate him more than anyone else. He was a pretty mild guy, but essentially if his what he claims is right, then everything they say about God can't be right. So that's why they hate him more than anyone else.
Yes, because you
I'll
know,
go into that some other time and really work that up, but
yeah.
yeah, they have an absolute hatred of it. And see, all this European science came about in the 1900s, and they heckled. And you, for Darwin, heckle. And people start looking at race. They start looking under microscopes. They start developing the technology you need to make some of the most basic discoveries. And we're still, and unfortunately, we've been suppressed by Jews for the last 100 years. So we've been in kind of a mini dark age. Because they've suppressed knowledge of racial science right at the point where we're getting the tools to actually really understand it for the first time. And then the Jews come flooding into the US and they start taking over the media and they start polluting academia to where anyone who thinks these lines can't get a job or can't get funding or can't get tenure and they can't get anything printed in the newspapers. So they've effectively driven real science, real racial science that should have been developing underground. So it
Yes.
kind of came to an end right around 1900, 1910. And ever since then, it's all been Jewish anthropology, Jewish psychiatry, Frankfurt School assertion of, oh, all cultures are equal or whites are evil, all that kind of garbage took over. It's a real shame. So we are in a dark age right now.
Well said, well said. Stupidity has been brought over us, and now we are dying. All these wonderful white deep truths from science, these things that can change our lives. I remember Dr. William Pierce said that we've sort of fumbled and bumbled our way forward in the past, but we've reached the point where we've got enough scientific and historical knowledge where we don't need to fumble and bumble anymore. We can just we know exactly what to do that is correct and good and will work for us scientifically and historically, and we go down that path. Basically, that's the same path that Hitler invented, and we can chart our course towards greatness for all time. We know what we need to do, and race is at the heart of this. And now Jews have taken all that truth away and are hiding it away.
Yeah.
So anyway, more news from South Africa. Our black Jew president Ramaphosa. This is an interesting thing. He attended a COSATU rally. COSATU is a trade union, and it's one of the three critical structures that come together as the tripartite alliance that is the sort of political power of the blacks. And what was interesting was Ramaphosa was actually booed by blacks at COSATU, at this COSATU rally. I didn't dig more into it, but this is a good sign. Because this could mean that Ramaphosa, who's a direct agent of the Jews, and he's trying to control these black commies, COSATU is communist and hardcore commie. It could mean that maybe Ramaphosa's career is going to hit some rocks. The last time a black president tried to do something nasty was Thabo Mbeki. He also tried to start charting his own course in a much firmer way than Ramaphosa, and COSATU wiped out. They wiped out Mbeki and replaced him with Zuma. And so, if COSATU doesn't like Ramaphosa, that could mean that maybe he's got to watch how he treads in the future. COSATU's got a lot of power, and it can rally the blacks to destroy him. So that's one to watch. I wouldn't say it's going to happen soon, but it could be something that could get interesting, very interesting. Next story. The government here, like in your country, has been giving away money for free. They've got a social grant that they give to the blacks. But what's interesting is the total number of social grants that the government can afford is for about 10 million people, 10 million out of about 50 to 60 million people. Well, guess what? In a single week, 7 million people went to apply for the grant. And I suspect that those 7 million are probably 99% black. So the blacks are really struggling. And the system is becoming overwhelmed. So that's also a good one to watch. The blacks are always having babies. They are, unlike your country where they have abortions, here they don't have abortions, very few abortions here. And they're having babies constantly, and all their babies are being fed and being, their health is looked after, etc., etc. And so they are becoming a greater and greater burden while the country produces less and less. And also wealthier people, even upper class whites, are leaving the country and the tax base is shrinking. So we're going to become more
John,
dysfunctional and the blacks are going to be
sure.
unhappier.
Yeah, the trends will continue in the wrong direction until some other factor changes them. Where are they going to now? Is there any change in where whites are leaving? And how many whites are in the country overall? Is it under or over 4 million? And where are
Alex,
they going, the ones that leave?
the whites that are leaving, the number that's leaving is not that many, but the people who are leaving are the more educated, more professionals. I think they are going to Anglo countries. I think Britain is one of the destinations, but it's not large numbers. The vast majority of whites are still here. And they're going to stay here because they're not They're not going to be able. They're either not going to be able to get out, or they truly don't want to get out. They may be Boers who don't see any reason to get out. So our numbers are. I don't see our numbers dropping. It's at a rate like they used to drop, but there is a certain amount of flow that is going out. It's in the tens of thousands per annum.
Well, how many, what is the white population of South Africa now?
The white population at the last time they counted was about 4.6 million. So, if we've dropped, maybe we're dropping by 100,000 or maybe 200,000 over many years. I can't
What's
say.
the birth rate of, do you know what's the birth rate of white South African women?
I can't tell you, but I must say, just generally in walking around, in the last 5 to 10 years, I've seen white women have more babies than I've seen before. I see quite a lot of white women with young children, Alex. I see it quite often.
That's great.
There was a time about 10 to 15 years ago, there was a time where you hardly ever saw a young white child. Nowadays, I see quite a lot of white children. Quite a
What do you
lot.
attribute that to?
I think that the whites are more comfortable, actually. I think that most whites feel safer and feel more comfortable, believe it or not, and that is why they're having children. I think they've gotten used to things, and they seem and all over the show, I see young white children in my neighborhood when I go shopping. I've never seen as many white children as I've seen in the last couple of years.
Oh, that's
And
fantastic.
I must say, Alex, sometimes even if the mother looks very old and a bit worn out, although other times I see nice young white women, but I must tell you, most of the time the children look very healthy. I went to some banks the other day and I was walking through a shopping mall. And I was looking at every white woman with children, and the children are looking so young and lovely and healthy, the boys and the girls, and they are well looked after. It's
Excellent.
so excellent. Yeah, it was making me happy. It's like, yeah. And I almost felt sometimes like going up to the mothers and saying things, but everything's been so destroyed through Jews and everything that it might not be a good thing to go up to a mother and say, "Oh, you got a nice little girl or a nice little boy." They might think you're a fucking pedophile, So
Yeah, they get
sadly,
paranoid about that
everything's fucked
nowadays.
up.
I just sometimes I say if I see one like the post office, I say that's a nice looking kid you get, something like that, and they appreciate it. But just let them know, it's an effort to have children. And but I know what you mean. They've more or less made people paranoid about normal human interaction, so that they tend to think any males who aren't are around other people are pedophiles. They absolutely do react like that, and that is a TV trained fear.
Yeah, it's
But of
just.
course, nowadays it's not even that irrational, is it? With all the crap going on in schools, but
Yeah, and when I was busy reading some European history about the ancient Greeks, and I came across something interesting. I think it's the ancient Greeks, not sure if it's the Greeks or the Romans, but I think it's the Greeks. The Greeks even used to write like poetry and stuff about how beautiful another person is. They used to like a man would write something about how beautiful a woman is, or even how attractive another man is. And it used to be very normal behavior to like write a whole bunch of stuff about how attractive another white person is, and nobody ever thought of it that it had a sexual connotation. Whereas if you were to do that now, they would think that, you want to get into bed with everybody. But back then it was very natural and nobody even thought twice about it.
Yeah, they've
I wonder
Jews
how.
haven't just perverted everything, but part of that is sexualizing everything.
Yes, and that makes me wonder, how much of our culture and our natural ability has been totally lost thanks to all kinds of Jewish crap.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I mean, a very basic thing is take, for example, things like when I was younger, I was told two things you never talk to people about: politics and religion. But if you
Yeah.
actually get down to it, those are the most important things we should be talking to each other about. And
Well, yeah.
why should it create so much division? But if it wasn't for all these Jews with all these different isms, we would have nothing to argue about.
Yeah, it's divide and factionalize society. And if you don't talk about politics and religion, what are you going to talk about is gossip, basically.
Yeah. So anyway, Alex, another article that I quickly put on my website was about the dumb white liberals of South Africa, because as I was there's some stuff that I'm going to discuss in shows that you and I are going to do shortly. There's some new research that I've done regarding South Africa and Jews and some of the stuff that happened in the past, and I was coming across how many freaking Jews were in the anti-apartheid movement, and Jews are the crux of liberalism in South Africa. The normal white South Africans would almost not be liberals at all if it wasn't for Jews. But I noticed that Jews were driving communism, Jews were driving liberalism, and when you look at it, you'll see it's actually just a bunch of Jews busy with their Jew nonsense. And then what happens is now and then they manage to find a dumb white who actually buys into their bullshit and becomes part of the thing. So when you go and you read through all these anti-apartheid heroes, they are mostly a bunch of Jews, but you'll find some English and the odd dumb Afrikaans white who happened to become a commie or who happened to become a liberal. And I wrote an article to say to people that I think that Jews basically were trying to recruit all these whites to their stuff. Otherwise, anybody looking from the outside inwards would see that this is actually just a Jew scam, that liberalism and communism and the anti-apartheid movement is actually just Jews, actually. So I thought I'd just raise that and point out that there were some dummies.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, one of the dummies I pointed out was a Jew called Ben Turok, and people are lauding him. Oh, Ben Turok, great revolutionary thinker. Go and investigate. Ben Turok is a Jew. He is a communist, anti-white traitor, and yeah. His whole history is he's a Jewish economist in South Africa who basically tried to make communist economics work for the blacks. That's the bottom line of Ben Turok. And then they're like, oh, he's such a wonderful intellectual. Here's a story for you that I think you'll enjoy. There were two Jews, a father and son, named Bobrov, and they were attorneys. And they were attorneys actually in Rosebank, which is just a couple of kilometers from where I live. Anyway, the Bobroffs had a client base of about 6,000 people. And to function in Rosebank, you have to be quite wealthy. It's not quite the richest of the rich, but you have to be pretty upper class, beyond middle class, in order to be able to live there. And to have a business there is quite a big deal. So these two Bobroffs had a attorney business in Rosebank. Anyhow, the father and son Bobroff then fled South Africa, and I began to read up about the fact that they had stolen, Alex, almost 100 million rand in South Africa, which in your money at the time could have been between $6 to $8 million. So it's not small change. And these two Jews, I dug into it more, and it turns out that the father and son had a white Afrikaans lady was their bookkeeper, and she testified in court. So what actually the gist of the story is that it seems to me this father and son Jew must have decided in the last 7 or 8 years They must have decided that, life in South Africa is not that good and it's time to split out of the country and get the hell out. But the problem is that if they go to another country, they're not going to be able to build up, 6,000 clients and all that. So what they did was they ordered their bookkeeper to bill every one of their clients 15,000 rand a month, every month. And then they started instructing their bookkeeper to start reversing certain of the entries. And the bottom line was they kept two sets of books. So they had their crooked set of books at the house on computer, and then they had the books that they're going to show to the receiver of revenue at work. Anyway, they kept on billing these 6,000 clients until they had probably close to 100 million rand. Then they split out of the country, and they'd moved most of the money to Israel, and but they themselves didn't go to live in Israel. They chose to go and live in Australia, probably life much better in a white civilized European Western country. And so now that the government and everybody in the legal system, they had court cases, they found the Bobrovs guilty, they got all the dope, but the money is gone. And it reminds me of David Irving, David Irving, the historian, and in one of his meetings in the 1980s, he said, "Oh, the Jews, they always throw the money bags ahead of them, and then they skip out of the country." Well, the Bobrovs did that with computers, but it's the same thing. And there are some weird Jewy twists and turns in that. The court in South Africa ordered the Israeli government to give the money back, but the Israeli government says that it's taking 70 million of the money. And personally, I wonder if Israel isn't maybe got some deal with the Jews and protecting the Jews. So all these goyim think that, oh, no, Israel's just being difficult. Meanwhile, there's a whole bunch of Jewy crap going on there. The Bobrovs seem to be living very well and very high in Australia, despite the claims that Israel has impounded most of their money. But yeah, so a nice Jew scam. And by the way, the Jews show premeditation because they did this. They build these customers for like 3 years at least. They were skimming this money off it, and that amounts 15,000 per client is actually quite a lot. So it may have been business clients who could afford it, but they were scamming them for like at least like 3 years, and nobody knew the plan. And it all shows premeditation. And then the father and the son, poof, they're out of the country. Money's out the country. They're out the country. Nobody can touch them. They're okay. They're living somewhere else. They can't be extradited. They did their homework. And yeah, Jews fled the country, probably decided it's time to get out, and this is the best way to leave South Africa with maximum money, because they won't be able to make a good go of things in Australia. Too lazy to work there, and they won't get as lucky as they got here. So steal from everybody, that's their goodbye present. So yeah, anyway, okay. I've got two more items. There's a National Socialist Afrikaans guy in South Africa that I know, and he published an interesting question. He runs his own blog, and I published the Afrikaans and English version of it. He raised the question, why then are white Christians so divided over race relations? He had written an article a couple of years ago where he'd raised the issue. What's up with you Christians? You don't seem to be able to agree on race. And he was throwing sort of the cat among the pigeons there. And final thing, I published one article from my old archive. I'm busy with my new websites, where I'm going to take all my old stuff and bring it back onto the internet. But there was one thing I thought I'd quickly just publish, was an article from 2002 when Robert Mugabe was busy destroying the white farmers in Zimbabwe. And it was an article where I wrote there that 142 white farmers had been arrested. And I listed their names and all the problems that they were facing as these blacks were angling in on the farms, seizing their farms, throwing them in jail, arresting them on all kinds of bogus charges, etc. Just to remind people of some of the nasty stuff that happened there. And the vast majority of these farmers are white English speakers, but there are also some South African names from there. So 142 farmers arrested and all the bogus reasons for their arrest. It was a nasty time, Alex. It was a nasty time. So, yeah, that's my little summary of African stuff.
We mentioned that the Central African Republic is adopted Bitcoin. Their leader is a PhD in math. How about that? He's black
Wow.
as a coal mine.
So.
I'm assuming it might may be legit. I don't know. He said he claimed he checked the math on Bitcoin and it works, so it's kind of funny. But
Yeah.
we'll see what happens. Do you get a bunch of Congolese make their way down to South Africa? Let's make that the final question of this show. We've been running pretty long.
Yes. Alex,
But do you Congolese there the way we got here in Nemo?
Yes, we've got quite a few Congolese. I can see it because they look a bit different, but the main giveaway is they speak French. And yeah, so we've got quite a few. They sort of come and go. They might move to other areas, but at the one shop that I go to, I used to see quite a few Congolese. I don't know if they're still around. I'd have to check it out. But yes, we've had Congolese. Alex, we've got blacks coming from all parts of Africa to South Africa. Why? Because all their countries are fucked up. We've got Zimbabweans and the black South Africans are the black South Africans are busy murdering some of the Zimbabweans. They're killing them. There was some black that was beaten to death and set on fire and so forth. So the dysfunctionality of Africa is coming through. Blacks are fleeing from other countries. They can't live in their countries. The very countries that they were killing the whites in because they didn't want white rule, they are fleeing from because they can't exist there anymore. They're coming to South Africa. Now they're competing with the local blacks for jobs. So the local blacks are killing them because they're running out of jobs.
Christ, yeah. So even a country with 5 or 4% whites is better than a country that's 100% black.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, and so you had your racial revolution back in 1994. So you're now, 30 years down the road. So how much more is there to degrade, I guess, is the question.
The only
How much
reasons,
more can you live on legacy infrastructure until you fall apart?
Alex, the only reason South Africa has not collapsed totally is two reasons. The one is the insane amount of wealth in mineral wealth, in platinum, uranium. All these hectic rare minerals and metals that are coming out of the gold mines in Boer territory, and the fact that there is a determined white population, mostly Afrikaans speakers, who are determined to stay in South Africa, and they are always trying to save the country, always. And the thing that I try to get across to whites is, we should no longer be saving liberals, no longer be saving blacks. Just look after ourselves. Let the whole thing implode. These people are crazy, and the blacks eventually will want to kill each other. They'll want to kill us. They'll want to kill the Indians. The Indian killing is quite interesting. That came out as a result of those wild riots last year. Until last year, the blacks had never said that the Indians should be killed, but they've now started saying that. So the whole mechanism, the whole united front that the Jews had created of all the anti-apartheid, anti-racist front composed of liberals, Jews, blacks, Indians, coloureds, and so forth to fight the whites. That whole thing is falling apart. It's falling apart more and more. So it's wonderful. Let everybody get poorer. I wish the country would collapse sooner. And I wish whites would just learn one thing. Stop saving other people who don't care about you and want to kill you. Stop saving them. Leave them alone. Focus only on your own people. Look after your own people. Have your own children. Defend your own people. If we do that, the whole thing's going to collapse. And I'm sure that we can fight our way out of it when they try to kill us. I'm absolutely convinced we can survive. Whites are still
Make our
doing
way
pretty
back to
well.
racial sovereignty.
Absolutely. Let the whole thing fall apart, because when it falls apart, nothing will work, Alex. Nothing will work. And we'll be able to grab our weapons, come out defending ourselves,
Yeah,
and
we
seizing
don't
what we
need
want.
them. We don't need them, and we reject the Jewish lie put forward by Christianity that we have any kind of moral duty toward them. Our moral duty is to our own kind to protect ourselves from them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have no moral duty or obligations to anybody else. They are not our children. They're not our family.
Anyway, let's wrap it up there, and that'll do it for this edition of Team White. We recorded this on the 5th of May, 2022, and great stuff. And we'll be back with you again. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you again, maybe later this month or early next month.
Thank you very much, Alex, for being there, and goodbye, everybody. These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pivel.net. That's his Twitter type of website. www.vnnforum.com. You'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites: historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.